What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Hot Take, where I, along with my co-hosts Nat Nat and Lawrence, give you our hottest takes on all things NBA. Guys, here we are. We just finished game two to Miami and LA. Not much of a difference between games one and two. Actually, yep. No. Let me rephrase it. There were major differences between game one and two, but the end result is still the Lakers dominated. Yeah, still the same. So, you know, let's quickly recap game one for people that maybe forgot about it, maybe didn't hear it, see it, whatever the case may be. The Lakers completely dominated game one. I don't even remember the final score. I don't think Miami broke 100.
I think it was like 98 to 116.
116? Yeah, 98 to 116. I'll just give you guys some quick stats real quick. The Lakers shot 45%, while Miami shot 42%, so not that big of a difference there. The major difference is the Lakers shot almost 40% from deep, whereas Miami shot 31%, which is abysmal.
Yeah.
They get to the line 27 times, and they shoot 92%. Miami only got to the line 14 times and shot 78%.
Rough.
The other major difference between LA and Miami in game one, you might as well have just called them the LA janitors because they were completely cleaning the boards.
LA janitor. I like that.
They had 22 more rebounds than Miami. They had more assists, more blocks. Miami had more points in the paint, but it really didn't matter at that point because for whatever reason, all the shooters for the Lakers decided to show up and have a shootout.
That's crazy, mm-hmm. By the way. It was.
Crazy. What were your guys' takes on game one?
First off, I was scared at the beginning because the Heat were flying by. They were doing pretty well. They were up 23-10, took a timeout, and I was like, oh, this is not good. But after that, Tyler Hero came in, and after that, it was downhill from there. But other than that, like the only reason why this win was surprising for me was because they shot so well from the three-point range. You know it's bad when Danny Green hits a lot of threes. Well, what was it? 3 of 8? And it was just crazy because I've never seen them do so well from the three. And the Heat, I guess, I don't know, they maybe needed to like feel it out in game one, kind of see where they should go. But it was not well for them. Clearly, Goran and Bam getting hurt. But other than that, I was like, man, Lakers, it's going to be a sweep. Like I said in the last episode, it's going to be a sweep.
Yep.
You did say that. Lawrence, what are your takes from game one?
Honestly, I agree with Nat. I was scared after that run that the Miami Heat went on, 23-10. And that was kind of like the punch in the mouth, right? Like they're poking at the bear, the sleeping bear. And as soon as they woke up the bear after that timeout, they like had a barrage. Like, and that the Heat were just not ready for it.
Right.
Obviously, like, the injuries to Bam Adebayo, to Goran Dragic, and to Jimmy Butler, they were obviously huge hits to the team, and you saw it. But complete domination by the Lakers, like they, besides for that portion in the first quarter, they ran away with it, and they did not slow down for the rest of the game.
No, yeah, exactly. I mean, the thing with the Lakers in game one, from the get-go, like I understand like Miami had a surprising lead in the first few minutes, but Lakers just completely wiped that away. It was said at the beginning of game two, you know, Jimmy Butler was asked about it and he did admit, you know, some of the guys, you know, it's your first time in the NBA finals, you get those jitters. Mm-hmm. So you don't play your typical way of playing basketball. And I think they kind of made the adjustments they needed to for game two. And you saw that in the box score. Mm-hmm. That brings us to getting our thoughts and recaps on game two. For everybody who's listening, both teams shot at 50%.
Yep.
Both teams shot at 50% tonight. The difference is the Lakers put up, you know, 20 plus more shots than the Heat did. And you would think, you know, being down 0-1, you will come out more aggressively, just launch more shots. But that's not what the case is. Mm-hmm. The Lakers put up more shots, but they shot about the same field goal percentage. Miami had a better three-point percentage. They shot 40% from the three-point, and the Lakers only shot 34%. However, Nat and I have discussed this before, where it's like, oh, who's going to win? The team that has a better shooting percentage or a team that puts up more threes and makes those threes? Mm-hmm. And that's the case with the Lakers and Miami. The Lakers put up more threes and they made more threes.
Right.
So even though the Heat had a better shooting percentage, they just didn't get enough of them up. The surprising stat for me is Miami got to the line 30, the free throw line 34 times as opposed to the Lakers 17 times. Mm-hmm. And Miami made 91% of those free throws, whereas the Lakers only shot 58% of their free throws. So that stat line completely shocked me. You would think based on hearing that stat line alone, you'd be like, oh, they got to the line 34 times. Oh, that team definitely won. But that wasn't the case. Now, where the discrepancy is, where you see how the Lakers dominate, again, the LA Janitors, you know, that's my tribute to Brian Cardinal. He played in the league for a few years. They called him the janitor because he cleaned the boards. The Lakers out-rebounded the Heat by almost 10 rebounds. You know, they had 10 more offensive rebounds.
Yeah.
They had more assists, more steals, more blocks. Basically, the last part of those stat lines were the same as what happened in game one. What is it that you guys saw tonight in game two?
I mean, for me, it was definitely just Anthony Davis's night. He was going off in the third quarter. I was surprised he could have missed his first, what, 8 or 9 shots to begin with in that quarter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's tough for the Heat in their position because they don't have Bam and they don't have Goran. But I was surprised by how well Kelly Olynyk played. The Heat just needs to get Duncan more involved. Yep. And Tyler's been pretty good, but I feel like he needs to put a little bit more. But they're not guys who are like star scorers. They kind of like aid Jimmy. They kind of help Jimmy. They're not really like the main scorer like Jimmy has to be.
Right.
But they need to be more aggressive, definitely. For the Lakers, what I saw for the Lakers actually was Dwight Howard's energy from the very beginning. I felt it. Like he was actually like aggressive, rebounding like crazy.
Yeah, the first 2 minutes of the game, he had more points than he had in game one.
Exactly.
Just within the first 2 minutes, yeah.
It was crazy. But other than that, like I saw just good things for the Lakers, a little bit troubling for the Heat.
What'd you see, Lawrence?
I'll counterpart what Nat said about Anthony Davis's play on the ball. LeBron James, like he had a sloppy game, but he's like, if you look at the numbers, it's still, he put up 33. He put up 33, 9-9. He almost had a triple-double, and that was a sloppy game for him. He only shot, 14 of 25 from the field. He sinks a couple more shots. We're thinking like a 40-plus point game there. I also saw that the ball movement from the Lakers looked very smooth. They looked like a complete team. They were playing together. The chemistry was all there for them.
Yeah, I agree.
We saw another one of those plays in the second half. At least I did. That LeBron James Anthony Davis connection. Anthony Davis is already sprinting down the court. LeBron grabs the rebound, turns around, and it's almost instantaneous. He knows where he is,
right,
and he's throwing a perfect pass to him to get to the hole.
Mm-hmm.
That's from the Lakers side. Obviously, the Miami Heat were missing Bam Adebayo's presence on the defensive end. They were not able to stop Anthony Davis tonight, obviously, with the amazing game that he had.
No one can.
right. So I think he needs to get healthy fast. If he needs to get a new shoulder, I don't know, trade with Udonis Haslam. he's not using it. Get him a new shoulder, get him back in the game because, I don't know, the Heat definitely miss his presence on the floor.
You know, to that point, you mentioned the connection between LeBron and AD on the fast break. You know, it was another game where LA had more fast break points than Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, something that Nat had mentioned earlier, the presence of AD down low, and you know, for people who didn't get to see the game or maybe didn't really take notice of it, the Lakers had 10 more points in the paint than Miami did. And I feel in game one, Miami scored more points in the paint.
Mm-hmm.
So without the presence of Bam there, of course the Lakers are going to capitalize. So you saw in game one, LA did it from deep. In game two, they did it from down low.
Yeah.
You know, it's a double-edged sword, if you will, for the Miami Heat. You know, what do you do with this LA Lakers team? Now, with that said, let's jump right into our hot takes. What adjustments do the Heat need to make to keep this series alive? So for me, what they need to do, the obvious, you know, elephant in the room, they need Goran and they need Bam. Because without them, I feel like if they're in this game tonight, I think it's a hell of a lot closer than what it was.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you get, you know, even just 10, 20 points from Bam, or just the savviness and the IQ level of a Goran Dragic to see things and to make crunch time plays, which is when you don't have Goran on the floor and you don't have Tyler Hero producing or Duncan Robinson producing, you know, you saw it in the last series with the Celtics where in game one or game two, Goran Dragic was hitting, you know, big time threes over Daniel Tice. And, you know, you kind of need that presence. So without having those two guys there, you saw the outcome of it. You saw what was going to happen. What do you guys think Miami needs to do in order to keep this series alive?
See, like, I'm not sure they have to do much because, for one, they incorporated Myers Leonard and Nunn into this game. And they haven't had much playing time in the whole playoffs so far. So I think they need to kind of, like, keep them in a little bit more. Granted, if Bam is okay for game three, then obviously, you know, Myers Leonard can just go back to the bench. He's fine. But, I mean, if Bam is out for game three and Goran's out, they just need more practice time. They need more, like, just to get their feet wet. You know, in terms of Myers Leonard and Kendrick Nunn. But I mean, if Myers Leonard, Olynyk, or Jay Crowder can't step up and guard AD, you know, a little bit better, it's over. Because AD, like, there's no match, no clear-cut match for him on the Heat.
What do you think, Lawrence?
I also agree with Nat in that point. Like, they obviously, people went down. They got to have people step up, fill those roles as much as they can. Because tonight's game was, like you said, a lot closer than game one. Game one was a complete blowout. They made this one at least a little more competitive. They obviously still lost by 10. But I think they got to go back to their bread and butter, what's made them so successful throughout the course of these playoffs. And that's the three ball, right? Duncan Robinson, they really need him to start knocking down shots. Tonight he only shot 2-7 from three-point range, right? Mm-hmm. He knocks down a few more of those shots. We're talking about a closer game, potentially even Miami winning. So I think Duncan Robinson is going to be a key player for the Miami Heat for the rest of the series. They can get him hot early. They can get him making and sinking shots down. I think he'll be a real threat if he can make those shots.
So on the flip side, you know, we have the LA Lakers. They're up 2-0. What is it that the Lakers need to do in order to close out this series? Now, for me, Up until this point, it's clear, you know, they're the better team. In order for them to continue to win, they can't get laxed. You know, you kind of have to keep the pedal to the metal, so to speak. The other thing I feel like the Lakers need to keep doing, you saw it early on in the game, to beat the Miami Heat zone defense is the same thing I've been saying during the Celtics, you know, series.
You did say it, yeah.
You penetrate, you get it into the center or on the baseline. That way you give your shooter space because people collapse. Yep. That's the best way to defeat a zone defense. And you saw it all throughout this game, you know, especially in the first quarter, they capitalized on that zone defense. So the Lakers just have to keep attacking that zone defense. And nobody knows that better than LeBron James because he's the one that's doing a lot of the facilitating, especially in that first quarter. Now that we established what Miami needs to do, we established what the Lakers need to do. We talked about it in the last episode, but, you know, let's just refresh our minds. Maybe we got different points of views. Let's just find out in our last hot take. Who wins this series and in how many games?
I mean, you know where I'm standing about this. Honestly, I said Lakers in five.
Still the same?
I said Lakers in five, but now it's four. Now it's Lakers in four for sure.
Lakers in four.
Yeah.
What about you, Lawrence?
Yeah, I'm rescinding my Heat in six take from last episode, and I'm going for the sweep. Bring out the brooms.
Bring out the brooms. I'm going to go Lakers in three. Lakers in three games. That's going to be my call.
Yeah, they're going to just quit. They're going to just quit. They're going to leave the bubble.
It's not worth it.
For me personally, right? For me personally, I think Miami's going to get – I know Jimmy Butler – he's not going to go out this way. They're going to get at least one game. At least one. Mm-hmm. Now, my answer will change if, you know, they get Bam back for game three. If they lose game three with a Bam Adebayo, without Goran Dragic, they're going to get swept. I don't think they're going to make it. So right now, I still stand. I think Miami's going to get at least one game in. But so you want ultimately, it'll still be the Lakers.
Okay.
I have Lakers in five. Yeah. Oof. Unfortunately. and I have a reason for that. You know me, I've done it on the show before. You know, I'm a history buff. In case you guys didn't know. Oh. All right. Since 1969, that's 51 years. Only 20 teams have come back in a series down 0-2. 20 teams in 51 years. Now, out of those 20 teams, only four haven't been able to do it in the NBA Finals. So in the NBA Finals, in 51 years, only four teams have come back down 0-2. The last team to do it was a LeBron James 2016 Cavaliers team.
That's right. Go.
The last team to do it before them was a 2006 Miami Heat led by Dwayne Wade.
Oh, okay.
So the plot thickens. And we talked about last episode, the Miami Heat and LA Lakers connection is even more connected, you know, through LeBron James being able to come back from down, 3-1 against the Warriors. Mm-hmm. And then Miami against the Dallas Mavericks the first time in 2006. Mm-hmm. So history is not on, does not favor Miami. It'd be pretty amazing if they were able to do it, be the fifth team to ever do it in the finals. That's just my hope. Do you guys have any final thoughts?
Yeah, one thing. Shout out Kuzma for that over the shoulder no look pass to absolutely nobody.
Oh, in the first quarter? Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah. I'm going to call that the Katia pass.
Yeah, I don't know who. Oh, yeah, I think that's who he's trying to pass it to. Yeah. Beautiful. Beautiful basketball right there. All right. So, everybody stay tuned. We'll see you guys on Sunday after game 3.